Chapter 3. Out of Nowhere. Dr. Potter paged Dr. Robert Brennan, one of her associates at Lynchburg General and a specialist in infectious disease. While they waited for more test results to come from the adjacent labs, they considered all of the diagnostic possibilities and therapeutic options. Minute by minute, as the test results came back, I continued to groan and squirm beneath the straps on my gurney. An ever more baffling picture was emerging. The Gram stain, a chemical test named after a Danish physician who invented the method that allows doctors to classify an invading bacteria as either Gram-negative or Gram-positive, came back indicating Gram-negative rods, which was highly unusual. Meanwhile, a computerized tomography, or CT scan, of my head showed that the meningeal lining of my brain was dangerously swollen and inflamed. A breathing tube was put into my trachea, allowing a ventilator to take over the job of breathing for me, 12 breaths a minute, exactly, and a battery of monitors was set up around my bed to record every movement within my body and my now all but destroyed brain. Of the very few adults who contract spontaneous E. coli bacterial meningitis, that is, without brain surgery or penetrating head trauma, each year, most do so because of some tangible cause, such as a deficiency in their immune system, often caused by HIV or AIDS. But I had no such factor that would have made me susceptible to the disease. Other bacteria might cause meningitis by invading from the adjacent nasal sinuses or middle ear, but not E. coli. The cerebrospinal space is too well sealed off from the rest of the body for that to happen. Unless the spine or skull is punctured by a contaminated deep brain stimulator or a shunt installed by a neurosurgeon, for example, bacteria like E. coli that usually reside in the gut simply have no access to that area. I had installed hundreds of shunts and stimulators in the brains of patients myself, and had I been able to discuss the matter, I would have agreed with my stumped doctors that, to put it simply, I had a disease that was virtually impossible for me to have. Still unable to completely accept the evidence being presented from the test results, the two doctors placed calls to experts in infectious disease at major academic medical centers. Everyone agreed that the results pointed to only one possible diagnosis. But contracting a case of severe E. coli bacterial meningitis out of thin air was not the only strange medical feat I performed that first day in the hospital. In the final moments before leaving the emergency room, and after 2 straight hours of guttural animal wails and groaning, I became quiet. Then, out of nowhere, I shouted 3 words. They were crystal clear and heard by all the doctors and nurses present, as well as by Holly, who stood a few paces away, just on the other side of the curtain. "God help me!" Everyone rushed over to the stretcher. By the time they got to me, I was completely unresponsive. I have no memory of my time in the ER, including those 3 words I shouted out, but they were the last I would speak for the next 7 days.